From Washington, this is Talking Tax. I'm your host, Amanda Icone. The Biden administration is just beginning to settle into its job of running the country. But international tax disputes wait for no one. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, better known as the OECD, is on the cusp of reaching a landmark deal that would change how digital services are taxed across international borders. This deal is years in the making and has involved many agonizing hours at the negotiating table for tax officials from around the world. One of those officials was Chip Harder. He was the head of international tax issues at the Treasury Department during the Trump administration, and he stepped down from that post late last year. Now that he's out of government, we asked Chip how those negotiations went and what his successors in the Biden administration should look for. Chip spoke with Bloomberg tax reporter Isabel Gottlieb about what the year ahead for international issues looks like and about how his job turned out to be very different than what he expected.
Well, I must say in retrospect, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. By the time I actually arrived, I suddenly discovered that it was game on and that, you know, this big report was being drafted to discuss, you know, what the future of the digital economy was. So, you know, got off to a fast start, I must say. I did not see it coming.
I was hoping you could kind of set the scene for us a little bit to bring us up to date. We're recording this at the beginning of February. The OECD has said on mandate from the G20 that they're now trying to reach agreement by mid-year, mid-2021, after being unable to do so earlier in 2020. Pillar One, which is the part of the plan that would reallocate profits to market jurisdictions, seems to be where a lot of the controversy and a lot of the difficulty getting agreement are. And there are perhaps lingering issues with Pillar Two, which is the global minimum tax. How do we get to agreement from here? What are the challenges over the next 6 months?
Well, to set the scene a little more, this really is an incredibly ambitious attempt to rewrite, you know, fundamental rules for how countries allocate taxing jurisdiction among themselves. You know, for almost 100 years, you know, most countries have adhered to international tax rules that generally allow a country to tax foreigners only with respect to activities actually undertaken in the taxing country, with in amounts measured based on arm's length principles. And so what we're really engaged in Pillar One is, you know, a renegotiation of how far we depart from those, you know, long established principles. Right now, you know, the talks are at a bit of an impasse. I think the United States will have to show some flexibility. If the Biden administration chooses to take that approach and, you know, re-engage on a different, more realistic basis, I think it would have considerable leverage to improve the drafting of the current Pillar One blueprints, perhaps replacing these fairly convoluted definitional approaches to scoping with something that is easier to administer, something based more on objective, you know, financial information, and in an approach that has less of a political aroma, where different countries are, you know, busy negotiating these definitions in a way to make sure that they don't catch, you know, industries based in their countries. So
I've heard that the discussions around certain business lines and industries being carved in and carved out got sort of almost specific to the point of absurdity at times. Do you have any examples of what those discussions looked like as countries tried to figure out kind of to the company, to the industry, or almost to the company, kind of what got scoped in?
Yeah, it, you know, this whole exercise in trying to define what is a consumer-facing business, you know, is an attempt to write rules based on both legal principles and, you know, politically defined exclusions. And, you know, I've lost track of exactly which drafts of the Pillar One blueprint were leaked to the public, but I thought the draft that was most telling was one that contained a fairly detailed illustration of how these principles might work that distinguished diamonds from pearls. The analysis was roughly that, you know, diamonds would in the first instance be excluded from consumer goods based on an extractive industries exception, but that because diamonds are subject to cutting and polishing and processes to make them more attractive to consumers, that they would ultimately be treated as a consumer-facing line of business. Whereas pearls, you know, are, you know, within a fisheries exception, and they were not, you know, generally subject to further processing or enhancement. And so they would not be a consumer-facing business item, you know, notwithstanding the fact that you see them in the same case at the jewelry store, or you, you know, see them in the same piece of jewelry even.
You had said earlier that when the Biden administration goes to put its own policy stance or its own ideas out on the table, that it should look to, I think you said, sort of a more realistic proposal that the Trump administration had put forward. In other words, that there was not really a realistic chance that that proposal was going to get much buy-in internationally. What was the sort of policy goal or strategic goal of that proposal?
I think it's fair to say that a pretty solid majority of the, you know, big multinationals we talked to were supportive of, you know, the administration trying to reach an agreement. There was, you know, widespread concern that, you know, if, you know, the talks don't succeed, that there would be, you know, just a plethora of, you know, unilateral actions with countries taking, you know, uncoordinated approaches, you know, governed by their own self-interest, just making international business much more complicated and greatly increasing the risk of double taxation of international trade and investment. That having been said, however, you know, there were a number of, you know, significant taxpayers that seemed to think that, yeah, that the status quo is an alternative, that, you know, they were not necessarily in the crosshairs of digital services taxes, and, you know, basically made it clear that they were not in favor and would, you know, oppose these law changes on the Hill. And, you know, while these companies, I'd say, were a fairly distinct minority, you know, the administration had gone through the fairly bruising political exercise of trying to pass the TCJA, you know, requiring every single vote in a Republican vote in the Senate. And, you know, as of the end of 2019, you know, the secretary, you know, basically saw we were, you know, going into an election year, and that it would just take a lot of political capital to commit the United States, you know, going into an election year.
That was Chip Harder, former Treasury Department Deputy Assistant Secretary. he spoke with Bloomberg Tax's Isabel Gottlieb. You can find up-to-the-minute news on the latest tax and accounting developments at our website, news.bloombergtax.com. That website, once again, is news.bloombergtax.com. And if you have any thoughts about this week's podcast, reach out to us on Twitter. We use the handle @tax. That's @TAX. Talking Tax is produced by Amanda Icone, Jeff Leon, and David Schultz. Patrick Ambrosio is our editor. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. From Washington, I'm Amanda Icone.
When it comes to the environment, there are, let's say, a lot of moving parts.
Climate change, air pollution, water pollution, chemical contamination, endangered species, renewable energy, Superfund, asbestos, recycling, lead, mold, radon, stormwater.
That's where Parts Per Billion comes in. Join me, David Schultz, on the Parts Per Billion podcast every Wednesday to sort out everything that's going on in the environment, from the courts to Congress to your backyard. Download and subscribe to Parts Per Billion wherever you get your podcasts, and thanks for listening.